and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Come on, church, you can do better than that. There's the energy. Come on, shake off those Christmas carbs. You just got to get into the zone. Are you doing well, church? Happy to be here. It's amazing to see so many people here on the 30th of December. And I think it's important how you finish something. It really determines how you start the next thing. And to finish this year strong in the house of God, giving God praise. How good is that? Let's thank Him. So well done. And I really hope you've had a great Christmas. I hope you've eaten too much. You've spent a bit of time in the sun. Spent a bit of time out of the sun because it has been hot. But have you enjoyed the last week? You know, the festivities, the fun, the family. It is, like Jackson says, such an amazing time of the year. And a couple of days until we start the next chapter, 2019. Can you believe it? Which means you've got 2 days to eat all the bad food in your house before you can start the year strong and healthy. So I tell you what, go to town on that pantry. But it is awesome to be here, and I'm very excited to share the word with you this morning. It is always a privilege, always an honor, and I know God has something to share with us and to really encourage us with as we open up His word. But I was thinking as we gather on the last Sunday of this year, just how amazing God has been to us as a church in 2018. Do you agree? Come on, let's thank God who has been so good, so gracious, so kind to us as a church. And I was just going through some of the amazing things that happened. You know, it was this year that we changed our name to Horizon Church. This year. I know, I can barely like imagine being a church other than Horizon Church. And it's amazing that that happened this year. And with that, such a fresh breath of God just touching each of our lives and just ushering us into the year that He had planned for us. We also opened the basement kids facilities. That was this year. How good is that? Let's thank God for that. And all the stairs and the atrium area that was to do with that to make sure our kids have the very best. And that room has been a huge blessing. We have had all nights of prayer. We have had half nights of prayer. We have had team meetings. We have had young adult gatherings. It has been awesome, as well as being a blessing to our kids on Sunday, to the rest of the church. We also renovated the front entrance. We've got a beautiful welcome, you know, front door to people who are coming to our church for the first time. Their first impression is going to be amazing. That all happened this year. We've also, as you would have seen, knocked out a whole bunch of the back corner, which will be eventually a commercial kitchen, which allows us to better cater and care and look after our church. And I just reckon that's awesome. So some of those building programs, let's thank God for that as well. Are you cool if we just rattle off a few things just to remind ourselves of how good God has been to us? Do you know, we saw on Sundays alone over 200 decisions for Christ. And we should honor God for that. And there have been hundreds more on Fridays and at our young adult gatherings and our youth gatherings. And it is absolutely amazing to see hundreds coming to faith in our church this year. And I just even look on this one row over here. I'm looking at my mate Grant. Give us a wave, Grant. This year, and just next to him a little bit, is Chris and Anique, two of my great friends. These guys, this time last year, had not received Jesus, but now are thriving in the things of God. And I just think, man, you guys are three of hundreds of people that have made that decision, and that's so cool. We have had over 100 people attend our discovery lunches, which are sort of one of the ways that people can connect with our church. Over 100 people choose to come, hear a little bit about our church, and really get involved. We've had 80 people in our Right Believing course, which is an amazing course that speaks to the core values of our faith and taught by the amazing Consardulius, very passionate Greek man. And there were 80 people that went through that, having their understanding of God and the gospel just established so strongly. Do you know, our youth ministry was awarded the Community Group of the Year. The community group, that's not like the young community group of the year. That's not the upcoming community group of the year. That is the community group of the year. Out of everyone who does things in our community, and thank God for them all, our youth ministry this year was recognized for the unique and distinct work they have done in this community to reach and bless and encourage young people, which again echoes into all aspects of our society. One of our congregation members became the Prime Minister of our country. How amazing is that? Let's give glory to God. It's very significant. We held our first ever Horizon Church conference. That was our first. And wasn't it awesome? A move of God that just set us up. And we also had literally tens of thousands of hours that were given to our church and our community by our volunteers. So can we just honor them, every single person that has just given so much. Tens of thousands of hours. It's quite remarkable. And the truth is that you are all a part of this story. And this is your church. This is, you know, the church isn't a place that we gather. The church is something we are a part of. And Horizon Church is your church as much as it is my church, as much as it is Pastor Brad and Pastor Ali's church. And our story is your story. And I think we can just thank God so much for how blessed we are and how much He has moved in our lives this year. And I also do just want to honor our senior pastors, Pastor Brad and Pastor Ali. We are so grateful for your leadership, for your example, for your love. And it is so much more than just the practical work that you do. It is the spirit you have, the heart you have for God that is an example to all of us, the prayers you pray, and the way you lead with such integrity and dedication to every single person here is just remarkable. So we love you and we honor you, and we just thank you. Give it up for our senior pastors one more time. And if you are one of the 321 people who came for the first time and attended came to our guest lounge and filled out one of our hello cards, it is awesome to have you here with us at this part of the year. Church, welcome anyone who's here for the first time, which is Matt. It's amazing. And we're gonna share a scripture. I want to share a scripture out of Philippians, an incredible book of the Bible. It is penned by St. Paul to the church in Philippi, and he is writing them a letter to encourage them, to thank God for the good things that he is doing in their life and to encourage them on to what's next. And we're going to read a scripture from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. And if you have your Bible, you can read on. But if not, you can just follow along on the screens and listen as I read. Let's start at verse 4. It says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And I would love to share this message this morning. The title of it is Rejoice. And I'm just believing that God is going to cause our hearts this morning to truly rejoice in how good He is. Join me as I pray and ask God to really open up this scripture for each of us. Lord, I just thank you so much that this morning you want to encourage every single individual person, whether this is their first time in church or whether they've been coming for years. God, we thank you that the word of God is powerful. God, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will cut into our lives, God, and bring transformation. So I pray, God, on this last Sunday of 2018, that you would cause rejoicing to rise up within each of us as we look to you and to your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever had something consume like your mind, like it is all you can think about. At this time of the year or the beginning of the year, it's very common for Christians to often maybe have a time of fasting, which is where you will put aside food and you will focus your attention on God. Now, I remember the first time I ever fasted as a young teenage young man, I wanted to put my focus on God, but if I am to be completely honest, my focus was consumed with food. I decided to do a three-day fast, and I remember just going into it strong, excited about it, all pumped, but within hours, I was thinking about, you know, the Fruit Loops that were up there on the shelf. I was thinking about, you know, the Weet-Bix. I was thinking about the toast. You know what was crazy is over those next few days, I don't think I've ever been so consumed with anything in my life as I was with food. Do you know, I had this sort of inventory established from my pantry of what food there was because I couldn't access it. It was like the forbidden fruit. I'm just like, oh my gosh, right? I just was like so consumed with this thing. I remember like looking at things such as like a can of tinned tomatoes. And I was thinking, how good would it be to bust that out, put it on a little saucepan, a little bit of salt, maybe some rosemary, and just have it like a soup. I'm like, mate, you know it's bad when you're like a 15-year-old young man and you've seen a pack of lentils and you're like, whoa, some of that dal. Imagine that right now. My gosh. I found things in our cupboard that I just did not even know existed. I'm like, wow, who would have thought that this would be there? I took stock. I had an inventory of everything that was there. I was consumed by this thought, by this need. And as I've matured, you'll be happy to know that I've become better at focusing on the Lord rather than food. But I'll tell you what, you got to start somewhere. And maybe if you're a teenager here, this year could be a great year for you to have a goal of fasting, starting off your year by seeking God and just really putting your focus and attention on Him. It will be a powerful thing to kickstart your year. But this word, when Paul says, whatever is noble, great, whatever is admirable, think about these things. This word, think, is that same sort of idea of like, fill your mind with it. It actually means to take an inventory or to recount, to go over, to let your mind be consumed with that thing. And a great question to ask ourselves at this time of the year is as we look back, what are we consumed with in our thinking? What is it that is taking pride of place in our mind? What do we look back at over the year and let take our attention? Because how we engage with what is happening in our head will determine whether or not we have access or whether or not we enjoy the God-given peace which is available to us. You know, Paul is teaching us that there is significance to what you dwell on. What you dwell on affects your God-intended peace. It says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think, dwell on, play over, recount such things. And we just took a couple of minutes a moment ago to do that over 2018. We talked about some of the amazing things God did. We talked about some of the noble things that we have seen, the community group of the year, some of the right things that we have seen, 200 plus salvations. That is right for a church to see. Pure, the resourcing of our amazing kids ministry. What a pure thing to be focused on, to really invest into the next generation. Whatever is lovely. You know that front entrance? Truly lovely. Hard to sink. Yeah, I tell you what, fantastic. Whatever is admirable, the achievements of members of our church who have stepped into roles that are God appointed. Do you know, it is amazing to just reflect on these things. And let's have a little bit of a case study here for a second, just in case you don't believe me. How do you feel in your heart, in your mind, after we reflect and recount and go over those good things? How do you feel towards our church? Do you feel a sense of pride, a sense of gratitude, a sense of joy? Are you glad to be a part of a church that is just so such a blessing to our community? Is there something that sort of lifts your eyes, pulls your chin up, and puts your shoulders back and says, I'm so glad I'm part of Horizon Church? I don't know if that's what it's like for you, but for me, when I think about all the good things God has done, there's this sense of just gratitude, and my eyes are lifted. You know, what's interesting about this experience that we just had, you know, recounting these things, is that the choice was always ours. We chose to focus on the good things that God has done in our church. Now, I could have, you know, drawn your attention to that, you know, the feral possum that Ross Mackay had to chase out of the roof this year, on several occasions, mind you. I could have focused on the calories the staff put on at the staff Christmas party. You know, I could have focused on some of the things that have been more challenging or more difficult this year, but the choice to focus our attention on the good things of God actually did something in our hearts, in our spirits, in our minds that is a work of God. You know, we actually have this choice.
And it seems to me that Paul, as he's writing this letter, assumes that there is always the possibility of rejoicing. He says here at the very beginning, it's quite amazing. He says this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do you know, probably the greatest, the thing that is most ironic about this is that while Paul is writing this letter, he is deep in a prison cell. He is literally there locked up. His friends are out enjoying their freedom, and he is penning, rejoice. And I say it again, rejoice. He is literally in this place where many of us have never been. And I tell you what, even if you have right now by being in this room, you're not in prison, you're enjoying your freedom. He didn't even have his freedom yet. He was able to say, rejoice. It's an amazing thing to have a posture of positivity. When we choose to recount the good things God has done instead of dwelling on the negative. And the posture of positivity lifts our countenance, it lifts our eyes, and it takes us away from this slumped, slow, immobile sort of position into a place ready for what is next. And the reason I wanted to talk about rejoicing this morning is because here we are at the end of 2018, and the truth is there have been ups, there have been downs. You know, in my own life this year, the greatest joy was my little daughter being born. Where is she? I think she's with Kat or Pastor Ali. Who knows? She's out there. If you have my daughter, please be careful. Just kidding. But my daughter was born, and honestly, it is just like the greatest high. Like, I'm talking like nothing in my life has equated to this, you know, joy that Melanie and I have felt. But you know, probably about 6 weeks after little Lacey was born, I lost one of my childhood friends in a farming accident, and I've never felt so low. I've never felt so, emotionally drained. And the truth is, we have ups and we have downs. And the challenge is, when we talk about being positive, people can think, well, that just means you got to ignore all the bad things and pretend like that stuff didn't happen. But the truth is, that's not at all what God is teaching us and what Paul is saying here in this letter. In fact, he actually equips us with the ability to handle difficult and challenging things. Thank God for his word, which doesn't brush over things that truly matter. And you know, side note, I actually believe that as a Christian, we are able to experience greater highs than anyone else. And we are also able to properly experience greater lows. God doesn't mute our life. He doesn't make life dull and just uninteresting and boring. And if that's what your experience of Christianity has been, then I'm sorry, you've been stuck in a religion, not been walking with the living God. God allows us to experience the greatest highs and the greatest lows. You know, even Jesus, as I'm just thinking here, you know, he experienced the greatest joy, the joy set before him. He endured the cross. He was up there in Gethsemane praying, sweating blood and water, literally having a moment where he was emotionally feeling the weight of everything he was to take on. You know, if anyone has experienced emotion, it would have been Jesus. He has experienced at its greatest and at its lowest. He has experienced it to its full. And he says, hey, look, I'm going to allow you to go through emotions in a way that you can truly engage with it. You don't have to switch off when you're grieving. You don't have to pretend like nothing happened. I'm actually going to be there with you so that you can properly grieve. And you know, I actually experienced that in my life, as I just shared this year. The highs of having a daughter and the lows of losing a friend. But the beauty is, and the reason that I can rejoice through it all, is because God's presence was with me in the midst. Do you know, I would like to say that the posture of positivity is the posture that God intends for us to walk in. Do you know this passage of scripture, it says this, don't be anxious about anything. Because the question is, well, what do I do when I have challenges? Because you look back at the year and you're like, well, not everything was rosy. There were some real life difficulties. What do you do with them? Well, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Do you know this word anxious is actually to be troubled or consumed with cares. So it is to have your world and your mind and your heart consumed with your cares. So what he's actually saying is, you know, you actually need to not be consumed with your cares, but instead be consumed with the goodness of God. And he teaches us in the Bible how to do this. He gives us an incredible key, and he says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, I looked up what every meant, and it means literally every, each and every, the whole, everything. I'm like, wow, that is pretty straightforward, right? In every situation. Now, I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what it is you face this year, but in that situation, you can choose to come to God. And it says, we come to God by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, presenting your requests to God. Do you know, by prayer, what it means there is it says to speak to God. If you're carrying something of a burden in your life, if your mind has been consumed with a negative theme, if your eyes have been focused on the things that have been difficult, then what we first need to do is come to God. And we need to talk to God. We actually need to speak to God. And I would encourage you, you know, to actually go to God and to be real, to be honest. Do you know the point where God meets us is our point of honesty? As long as we have this facade up and we're trying to engage with God, not who as we truly are, but as, you know, we think he wants us to be, he's not able to get to who we are. When we get honest is the moment that we can experience God's power and presence in our life. Honesty is so important. By prayer, by speaking to God, and petition. Now, petition means to request from God. So you come to God and you speak to him. And you say, God, this is what's happened in my life. This is what's going on. This is what is consuming my mind. I don't know how to get rid of it. I don't know what to do with it. It is just there. I'm coming to you. You bring it to God. And then you petition him. You make a request. God, I thank you. And I need your help. I need you to come in. I need your peace. I need the God of peace to be with me. And you make a request on God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Now, this is a major key. And this is where this differentiates itself from sort of any kind of self-help, positive, you know, ideal sort of like, you know, talk yourself into a good place, you know, teaching. This is not just about in your own strength choosing to be a positive person. It is actually this ability to come to God in the midst of darkness and sadness with true thanksgiving. Now, how can somebody do that? Only if something is so great that it supersedes what is bad. Now, if you have something very difficult in your life, this can be a very, very hard place to be. But as a believer, we actually have something that is greater than the greatest depths and challenges of our life. We actually have God himself with us. And Paul was able in a prison to say, you know what, rejoice, because no matter how bad his circumstances was, what he had in God was always, always, always greater. Do you know, this place of gratitude, which Paul seems to think is always possible to come from, you know, a position of gratitude, is key in understanding God's peace. Do you know, the beautiful thing about this instruction, though, is that it comes with a promise. You know, this verse goes on to say that when you do this, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know what I love about promises in the Word? Is that you can take them to the bank. You can rely on them. You can lean on them. You can put your weight on them. Do you know, we don't put pressure on people. We put pressure on the Word. That's why it doesn't matter how great a leader I may have who may, you know, help me to think and understand. I always need a word from God, because no matter how good a person is, it is never to be trusted to the point of your life. It is a word from God which you can rely on at all times. We put pressure on the Word of God. I remember our first time abseiling with good old Brett Johnson. And, you know, he rigged me up and I'm all good to go. Got my helmet on and all sweet. But there's something about like that moment where you transfer your weight, right? And I remember just sort of clawing onto the edge of this sort of cliff, and to fall would be certain death. And all I had to rely upon was this rigging and these ropes, right? And Brett and his expertise. So, you know what? There you go. But I just remember that feeling of like slowly just letting go of the wall and just relaxing into this rope. It is a terrifying thing to put your trust into something at that degree. But you know what? With the Word of God, it's actually similar, where you sort of are like, oh man, God, I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if I can really rely on the Word of God. But I want to encourage you, you will never know the faithfulness of God until you put your trust in him, until you let go with your own strength, holding on to the things that make you feel secure and saying, God, I trust you. Coming to God in honesty and saying, you know what, I'm going to open up this aspect of my life and bring it to you. So God says, if you would bring to me your anxieties, your brokenness, the things that are consuming your mind, and you would speak to me and you would ask for my help and you would come from an aspect of thanksgiving, then I will give you peace. Speak to God, request from God, be grateful to God. Hand your cares over to God and you will experience peace which transcends all understanding, guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, when I think about 2019 and I think about the beautiful people that are in this room and I think about the plans that God has for each of us, for each of you and for the things that are yet to come, I think God's heart would be that we would enter 2019 with a sense of confidence, with a sense of courage, with a sense of faith, and with a sense of like, you know what? God's with me. This is going to work out. It's going to be okay. And the heart of this message, and I really believe God's heart this morning, is to cause our eyes to lift off ourselves, off our challenges, and to choose to put our eyes, to choose to think about things that are noble, things that are praiseworthy, things that are excellent, and lift our eyes again to the goodness of God and to remind ourselves that He is with us. Come on, somebody, give God a clap of praise. Here's the thought, right? Why is it that Paul can so confidently say that in every situation you can remain thankful to God? Do you know if anyone's been through hardships, it's Paul. He literally has been shipwrecked. He's literally been without food. He's literally been beaten. He's literally been, you know, mocked. He's literally been, you know, stripped of his status. He has literally been through so many different challenges, but he has chosen to be thankful. Do you know, I was thinking about Paul. I was thinking about what is it about Paul that makes him so grateful to God, regardless of his life circumstances. And as I was thinking about these things that Paul had a handle on, that Paul knew deep in his heart that caused him to rejoice, even in the face of his execution, even in the face of his eventual martyrdom, and people like Stephen who stood there and was stoned to death but was able to say with a face shining like an angel, "There is my Lord standing at the right hand of God." The thing that these people have that caused them to have joy and rejoice in all situations is the exact same thing that you and I have today. Do you know there's no difference? Paul wasn't a greater Christian than you or I. He was just a Christian. He knew Jesus. Anyone who is a believer, anyone who has opened up their heart to God has access to the things that Paul, Stephen, all of these people that we read about throughout history, we all have access to those things. And as you enter a new year with all its potential, promise, and uncertainty, I want to share three things that you can be certain of that will act as an anchor to your spirit and an unending source of thankfulness. Three things that we can all rejoice in. And the first thing, and I'll tell you what, regardless of what you've been through this year, regardless of what has been consuming your mind, right now, begin to let your mind reflect on the fact that God loves you. God loves you. God loves you with all your failures, with all your fears, with all your brokenness. God loves you as you are. He doesn't love you as you could be. He doesn't love you as you will be. He loves you as you are. Do you know, I love this verse, one of the most incredible verses in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish, but shall have eternal life." You know, one of the things I've learned is that sometimes people think that the love of God is sort of elementary and can be moved on from. Our revelation and understanding of God's great love for us is the bedrock of everything that we do with God. When we truly understand how much God loves us, all of a sudden we have this great confidence. We have this great peace. We actually can enjoy God's presence and respond to Him in a way that He desires us to respond to Him. If we have this idea of God's love skewed, if we somehow think that God's love is conditional, that it is based on what we have done or haven't done, if we somehow think that God loves us more one day and not so much the next day, or God loved us when we were doing well and is now disappointed in us when we are doing bad, if we have this skewed idea of God's love, it will always affect the way that we approach Him. And when we need to come with our anxieties to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, if we have a wrong understanding of His love, we will not be able to come to Him and receive from Him as He wants to be received. The first thing is the love that God has for us. Do you know, this love is foundational to everything. And I love it. In 1 Corinthians 13, even puts it like this: "If I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Do you know there's somebody here this morning, and you need to hear that God loves you, that He loves you so much, that He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die so that you can be restored back in a relationship with the Father. He loves you so much that there is nothing He would not do to reach out to you. And I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what your perception of God is right now, but it needs to be washed in the truth that God is love and that He loves you. And all of us need to begin this journey into 2019 with a great confidence that I'm loved by God, that He is on my side, that He is behind me, that He is carrying me, that He loves me. And the second one, we can rejoice in God's love. We can also rejoice that Jesus has saved us. Do you know, Jesus has saved us from ourselves. The Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have reached out for God's help, if you have reached out to Jesus and said, God, I need you in my life, Jesus, come and take my sin, then you are saved. Do you know, when you understand that you are right with God forever, there is a great peace and a great confidence that helps you endure no matter what you face. It helps you go through life with all of its ups and downs with a great confidence that God is with you and all is okay. I love this verse, John 10, verse 28. Jesus is speaking and He says, and I give them eternal life and they will never, ever by any means perish and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. You know, someone here needs to know that you don't move sort of in and out of your righteousness with God. You don't move in and then out of your salvation. You're not right with God when you're doing well and then wrong with God when you're doing bad. Do you know, the work of Jesus actually finished everything that was required for you and I to be right with God forever. The only requirement is for us to receive it. It is done. Here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He took away the sins of the world when He died on the cross, and we choose whether or not we want to be a part of that freedom by receiving Him. And Paul even says, you know what? You didn't gain your salvation by working for it. You know, why do you try now to sustain it by working for it? He says, no, if you gain this by faith, then you need to actually continue to walk in faith. And there's someone here and you are anxious, you are worried, your mind is consumed about whether or not God is with you, whether or not you have failed God, whether or not you'll have let God down. And God wants to give you peace right now by saying that no one who Jesus has saved will be snatched from His hand. He wants you to know that your salvation is secure in Him. And as you trust Him and walk with Him, you can experience God all the days of your life, and He will be encouraging you as you do well, and He will be helping you as you fail to come back up to a place where you can live out God's life for the best. You can be rejoicing in the fact that God loves you. You can rejoice in the fact that Jesus has saved me and I am right with God. And I'm going to ask Jones just to come up, and I'm about to wrap up. We're going to go into a time of just, you know, gratitude, thankfulness, and just a bit of worship to God. But the third thing that we can all rejoice in, regardless of our circumstances, is that the Holy Spirit is in you. God loves us, Jesus has saved us, and the Holy Spirit is in us. John 14, verse 16 to 17 says this: I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Do you know you're not alone? You are not alone. You are not alone. I don't know whether you walked in here by yourself. I don't know if you have a sense of friendship with people around. I don't know if you feel like you are isolated, but you are not alone. Do you know, in 2019, one of the greatest things that we can hold on to is the very fact that we are never alone. That God is always with us. That the Holy Spirit is right there. The paraclete, the one who comes beside. The one who is the advocate, the one who knows Christ, that will lead us into truth and will guide us into all truth. He is with us. We are never alone. And one of the greatest revelations I've ever had about my walk with God is that I don't do this for God. I do this with God. And it changes everything, because when you know that God loves you, that you are right with Him, even when you're not doing so well, that you remain in a place of righteousness because of His work on the cross, when you know that and then you realize that God, through His Holy Spirit, is there to speak, to lead, to encourage, to comfort. You know, whether you're doing well and you feel the breath of God and the cheer squad of heaven. You feel the Holy Spirit saying, go for it. Come on, you've got this. Come on, that's it, I'm with you. Or whether you are going through the deepest grief and you really know what it means to know the Holy Spirit as the comforter. Like, whether it's up or down, you've got to realize God's with you. In 2019, you are not alone. This year, I stood right where Gary is, and I just was holding my new baby and just crying as God ministered to me in grief. And you know what? What is so beautiful is, I remember a few weeks earlier, sitting on the day after Melanie gave birth to Lacey. She's asleep. I'm sitting there with Lacey in my arms, and I'm just thanking God for this child. And it was like, I had about an hour. It was this surreal sort of like beautiful gift God gave me just to spend this time with my daughter and ask God about my daughter and spend this time with God and my daughter. And I just, the Holy Spirit was present. Do you know what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit was also present in my grief. The Holy Spirit was also present when I was struggling and I'm like, God, what do I do here? Or what do I do there? God is with us. Do you know, when you realize this, and this is the gospel. This is why it's good news. This is why when the angels came to the shepherds, they say, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Because it's so good to know that God isn't against me, He's for me. God loves me as I am and He wants to be in relationship with me. Not only that, but He has made a way for me to know Him through Jesus. And all I have to do is believe. And I am right with Him. And He will never leave me, never forsake me. His Holy Spirit will walk with me every day of my life. You know, I want to pray for some people and then we're just going to have that moment, as I said, in worship. But can I just ask everyone to close your eyes and maybe bow your head? This is so that you can...
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day and we hope to see you again soon.